took on human flesh and dwelt among us, it says in verse 14, and we saw his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus. We should be reflecting upon who it was who came into our world. And it's also meant to be a time when we reflect on why Jesus came. And we've touched on it this morning. You can't help but touch on it as we had communion. How it should be a time when we remember why Jesus came, why God sent his Son in his great love. The reason for the season is Jesus. But the reason why he came is the most remarkable story of all. Do you grasp that in your being? Do you understand how remarkable it is when we consider why he actually did come? Sadly, we live in a day and age now where many people have removed Jesus from Christmas. I hate that expression, happy holidays. They just want to get rid of Jesus. But there's also a whole lot of other people I feel very sad for. They don't remove Jesus from Christmas, but they still have no understanding of why he came. They think he came to start a new religion. They think he came to give us good laws, moral laws. No, that's not why he came. Why did he come? I love to think about these things and be succinct in my mind. What are those big things? Why did he come? There's three big reasons why he came. He came to reveal. He came to rescue. And he came to reconcile. And all those three words are so rich in meaning. On this Christmas Eve, let's consider the great reasons why Jesus came. How he came to reveal, to rescue, and to reconcile. And he did that for you. Firstly, Jesus came to reveal. When I think about this, I want to say, to make it very clear, he particularly came to reveal God to us. He came to reveal God to us. He came to reveal that there is a God. And this God is real, and he came to reveal what he's like. Now, you need to think about this. If Jesus didn't come, forget about the problem we would have in going to heaven, but if he didn't come, what would we understand about God? Do you understand how we would know very little about God? It's actually Jesus who has come to reveal God to us. Yes, there is some light, some glimmer of truth. There is truth in the Old Testament, but it's really Jesus who reveals who God is. He reveals God. We come to see who God is and what he's like and how he can be known. And in fact, at the end of that reading, did you pick up on that? In John chapter 1, verse 18, what did it say? No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, that's Jesus, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. There it is. One of the primary reasons why Jesus came was to reveal God. No one has seen God. We know that he exists because of the creation. But Jesus came specifically to reveal God to us. Were it not for Jesus, we would be still left like it was before Jesus came. And unfortunately, even after he came, we'd be a world following all sorts of false gods and idols. Or not following anything. But Jesus came to reveal the true God. How important it was that he came. And I love the way Jesus revealed God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in his teaching, he taught a lot about his Father. He's the one who came up that God is Father, that he's a loving Father, that he's our Heavenly Father. He taught us so much about God, we can sort of miss it at times. It was so full in his teaching because he came to reveal God. And not only that, he came to show God and how he could because of who he is. What did John 1:18 say? It says that he is the only begotten God who came from the Father's side to reveal God. He's the one who's always been with the Father and he came. There was no one else who can reveal God to us more than the Son. No angel can, but Jesus has come to reveal God to us. Jesus could show us God so clearly because he's just like God. He is God. He's just like the Father. I don't know. I remember when I was a young Christian and I remember this great verse that just hit me where it says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 concerning Jesus. You know this verse, Hebrews 1 verse 3. It says that Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory and the exact representation of his nature. That's why Jesus could say in John 14, verse 9, to his disciples who were saying, show us the Father. And Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Not only did he teach about God, but he showed God to us by walking this earth. And there's so much I could say here, but for me personally, the things that Jesus has revealed about God, not only that he exists, but the things that touch me the most is that Jesus affirms to us that this great God, God the Father, is a God who knows me and you personally. Who was the one who said he knows the number of hairs on your head? Jesus. See, he's telling us about this God who knows us so much more than we could ever comprehend. And not only that, Jesus revealed that this great God deeply cared for us. Deeply cared for us. More than anyone else in the world. Jesus made that known. We would never have known these things. You can't tell those sort of things by looking at creation, even though creation testifies to who God is. But Jesus revealed who God is. Another way to view all this is that Jesus came as the great light to dispel our darkened minds, to dispel the errors about God. And isn't it fitting that light is such a wonderful theme in Christmas? We have lights around the house, lights everywhere. But even the Christmas story's got light in it. You got the light of the angels as they came down from heaven and lit up the hillside where the shepherds were. We got the bright star shining over Jesus' birth to declare the birth of Christ. But the great light is the baby himself. This one who was born is none other than, as Jesus said himself, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He came as the great light. And in John's gospel, and that first chapter we read about this, look at the references to Jesus being the light. In verses 4 and 5 of John chapter 1, it says, in him, that's Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it. Verses 8 and 9. John the Baptist was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was a true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. There's such a strong reference to Jesus coming into our world as the light. He came as a great light. What does light do? Light reveals. He came to reveal the truth about God. Left to ourselves, we will get God wrong. But Jesus puts it right. He makes it clear to us who this God is, how much he loves us and cares for us. Without Jesus, we get God wrong every time. Praise God that he came to reveal God and continues to reveal God if we walk with him. That's one great reason why he came. Another great reason why he came is in that word rescue. He came to rescue. He came to save. And you know, when you think of the Christmas story, how strong this great theme is about Jesus coming to rescue. Just think about these two significant verses that are found in the Christmas story. What does it say in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21? That's when the angel spoke to Joseph. And the angel said to Joseph these great words. He said, she, that's Mary, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There it is in the Christmas story. We think of Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Again, an angel speaking to the shepherds. And the angel says those great words, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the town of David, our Saviour, one who saves has been born. For you, he is Christ the Lord. And so this great reference to Jesus coming to rescue us is just so clearly seen in the Christmas story. And then when Jesus began his ministry, in John chapter 1, it was John the Baptist who wanted to affirm that before even Jesus began to preach. He said those words to the people around him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John wanted to make it clear the great mission of Jesus. He came to rescue us. Now, a lot of you know this, and I think of John 3 as another great verse. I love connecting 16 and 17. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And then it goes on to say this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." What a fantastic second verse, straight after verse 16. That's Jesus' mission. And so when I think about these things, I don't know about you. You know, many of us have heard about Jesus, his rescuing us many times over, but I have to think through it, and I need to remind myself about how it's me, it's you. We play down sin so much. We think so lightly of it, our rebellion, our wrongdoings. But what we've done against God is so serious. It's high treason we've committed. And one day we're going to be condemned for the wrong things we've done. We're going to have to face the consequences of our sin. We're going to face God's judgment. And we will be condemned. We will be sentenced to hell. That's the facts. When you grasp hold of that and you realize why Jesus came, that he came to rescue us, how do you feel? Hallelujah. Praise God that he has come to rescue me from what I would have faced. I think of it like this. When I think of Jesus' birth and why he came, Jesus, by the way, is going to be the one who will judge us. He is the great judge who sits upon the throne. And you know what is most amazing? No other judge has ever done this. The great judge left his lofty throne and he came down to our earth and he grew up amongst us. And when the time came, he stood in the dock where we should stand. He put us aside and he took the judgment that he would have passed on to us. He took it himself. And that was only made possible by him becoming a human being, taking on our form in order to represent us, in order to be able to take that penalty that we deserve. That's why the birth of Jesus had to happen. He had to become one of us. Who it is and what he's done for us, I don't think of anything better than that. It's the most remarkable thing of all. It's the greatest true story of all. And it should cause us to greatly rejoice. Sometimes I try and picture it. I just find illustration fail, but it's like I'm a blind person. I have no idea of what's before me one day without Jesus. And it's like I'm a blind person heading towards a cliff, heading towards where I'm going to fall to my death, to eternal death. And Jesus has come to rescue me from falling into hell itself. Or I'm on a river. A fast-flowing river heading towards a gigantic waterfall where I'm going to be dashed to pieces. I'm in that current of this world of sin and having no idea of the destruction that's going to come upon me. And Jesus has come to rescue me from that water that's sucking me down towards that great waterfall. You need to picture it yourself. You need to comprehend what Jesus has done for you. He's come to rescue you. But Jesus coming to rescue us is only one side of the coin. He came to rescue. And the other great R word is that he came to reconcile. I know often we do just think about that word rescue. And I want you to make sure you have a balanced view of what Jesus has come to do. He came to rescue and he came to reconcile. He bore our sins at the cross, not only to rescue us from the sentence of hell, but to make us right with God. What does that mean? To make me, to make you a friend of God, to make us come into his great family, that we become children of God. He came so that we might actually know God. That's how it's always meant to be. Adam and Eve knew God personally. That's how it's meant to be. And then they blew it. And we've all blown it. And this is the great thing that he's done. He's removed our sins. He's rescued us from that. But that's not the end of the story. He's also come to reconcile us. And I love that. I love the fact that I am now a friend with God. Do you love that? I love the fact that I can know God and do know God personally. He ministers to me. I know him. He's my very best friend. Colin's my second best friend. But he's my very best friend. We can know God. That's what Jesus came to do. And because I've been reconciled, all these great verses in the Bible just come alive. Like, I'm just going to pick a few. In John 14, verses 2 and 3, Jesus says those words, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You need to understand those words are yes and amen, because we have been reconciled. We're going to be in the Father's house. We're going to be before the throne. We're going to be with Jesus forever. What about John 14, 23? It says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Wow! That's what reconciliation looks like. God dwelling in me and me being in God. We are one. One more, John 20, verse 17. I reckon this verse captures the whole mission of Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus spoke to Mary, the first person who saw him alive, and he said to her, "I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." What is he saying? "I have made it possible for you to be fully reconciled to God, where my God is your God, my Father is your Father." That is something to grasp hold of, to rejoice in. I have been rescued from sin. That's not only. I've also been reconciled to God. What a blessed state that is. Oh, to know God is the joy of living. It is everything. Money cannot buy that at all. To know God is everything. And let me say now, as I conclude, though Jesus is the reason for the season, and though the reason for Jesus coming is truly remarkable, to reveal, to rescue, and to reconcile, I have to also say to us all, we will never experience and enjoy what Jesus came to do unless we receive him. It's as simple as that. That was in John's Gospel 2, John chapter 1. Let's read verses 10 to 13. It says there in verses 10 to 13, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." What a tragedy. The Creator comes and people just do not realize who it was. "He came to his own," verse 11, that's the Jewish people, "and those who were his own did not receive him." But then it says in verses 12 and 13, "But as many as received him," now what a beautiful word, "as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." There it is, the word reconciliation is there. "To become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." Born of God. But there it is. There's a key word there. We need to receive Jesus. We all know that, don't we? You know, there's all sorts of gifts. Christmas time is a time of giving. And we can have all sorts of gifts. We can have great gifts, big gifts, expensive gifts. And we know, pretty easy to understand, those gifts are of no value to us unless we receive it. You got to take it. Just left under the Christmas tree, it's of no value. You need to receive that gift. And so it is when it comes to the greatest gift of all, the great gift of God's Son by the Father. We must receive him. We live in a world where most people have not done this. We might get all romantic about Christmas, but unless we receive Jesus, there's no benefit to us at all. And I want to explore with you just briefly, what does it mean to receive Jesus? There are three things I think of. The first thing is that I need to recognize the great gift of Jesus. I need to recognize that he has come from the Father out of love for us, and that he is my Lord and Savior. He is the Son of God. I need to recognize that. I need to recognize the gift. The next thing I need to do is that I need to drop everything else. You know, when you're having gifts, there's all sorts of gifts you could be opening. There is one gift we need to make way for. Drop everything else. The Bible word is repent. Repent. Let go of everything else. Let go of your life. Let go of all the things you're holding on to. And you need to do that in order to receive Jesus. We need to repent of our sins, our way of living, living for ourselves. And then we need to receive Jesus. And we need to receive Jesus like a gift. We need to take him into our life. We need to, the best way I can think about it is I need to ask him to come into my life. I need to humbly ask him to save me from my sins and to be the Lord of my life. And everyone who does immediately is rescued from their sins and they are immediately reconciled with God. They immediately come into a wonderful place where they know God, not just now, but forevermore. Wow, how wonderful it is to receive Jesus. One of the tests I give to people is this. Have you ever called on Jesus to save you? There's a Bible verse on that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you ever prayed and called on Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be and to come into your life? If you haven't, I urge you to do that today. This is the greatest gift you could ever receive. The gift of Jesus. And with him, the gift of eternal life. Even as I'm talking, pray. Pray straight away. Pray. Ask the Lord to come into your life. Welcome him in. Receive him. And if you have, well, let me say, if you, that means you're a Christian, you're born of God, we ought to be filled with such joy. Not just Christmas time, but all the time. We ought to just be so thankful for this great gift that God gave in his great love. It ought to be something that we remember all the time and are filled with thanks and praise to God for Jesus, the one who came to rescue you and me, the one who came to reconcile you and me to the Father. The one who came so that we might spend eternity in heaven. Glory be to God for the great gift of his Son. And truly words fail. I don't know how else to describe it. Glory be to God for the greatest gift of all. And glory be to Jesus who came, became one of us, and came and gave his life for us, and came to save me. We're now going to sing a song, a carol. I've chosen this carol because it's got some beautiful words in regard to receiving Jesus in the third and fourth verse. Let's, the music staff will stand and sing.